that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people, God, and to proclaim your word. God, we recognize that it's not the messenger that makes the difference, but it's your word by your Spirit as it hovers over the hearts and minds of those that are hearing it. And God, how it embeds itself deeply within us. And Lord, how your Spirit breathes on us and makes it come alive in our hearts. And that's where change occurs. And so God, I pray that you would hover over us today. Lord, that you would breathe on us, that we might be made new once again. Lord, renewed in your Spirit. Lord, for those who may not know Christ today, God, I pray that they would be made new even today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Apostle John here starts out with the word beloved, most loved ones. It's a deeply personal inscription, and it's about the members of the church, beloved. And my friends, that's how I feel about you. You are beloved to me. My very heart. I want you to know that I love you. And then he says, beloved, let us love one another. Well, John includes himself in this. It's not just a call for you guys or not just a call for the members of the church to love one another, but it includes John as well. It includes everyone. We're all in this together. There's not this division between the clergy and the laity in that sense. We are all called to love one another. So how are we supposed to do that? How does that work? How do we love one another? Well, the first thing I want you to consider about that is that we are to love one another deeply from the heart. Look, you cannot love someone deeply from the heart if you haven't spent time with them. Until you really get to know them and their family, by sharing in their triumphs and their travails, their joys and their defeats, we must be a part of each other's lives. We must be in the process of building relationships that are as deep as life itself. If you spend your life pouring into the lives of others, then you are walking in the way of the Master. Then you are walking in the way of the Master. Another thought is love, not just in word or talk, but also in deed and truth. 1 John 3:18. Words alone, my friends, can belie hypocrisy. James 2:15 says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? Words not clothed in action leave the recipient feeling naked and cold. Talk is cheap, my friends. Talk is cheap. People will only know you love them when they know how much you care for them by the way you have spent time with them and love them deeply from the heart. Look, when our love moves from the theoretical to the practical, then the love of God is made manifest in us and them. This kind of love is from God. This kind of love is what Christ did when he took on flesh and became a man, when he humbled himself and left the glory of heaven for the stink of a stable, when he left the courts of creation to trod this dusty earth. When we love like this, we have been born of God and we know God. Verse 8 says that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Look, again, just to be frank, if your heart is hard toward the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, then the love of God does not abide in you. Deuteronomy 15:11 says, "For there will never cease to be poor in the land. Therefore I command you, you shall open wide your hand to your brother, to the needy and the poor in your land." We must love as God loves, because God is love. Love is not a noun, it's a verb, action. If God is love, he is the eternal one that is always in action. He never stops. He never ceases. He continues to reach out and to come alongside and to hear our hearts. And he never despises us. He never turns from us. God is faithful, my friends, and we are called to be like God. For love to be made real, action must be a part of it, or it is false and of no value. For love to be made real, action must be a part of it, or it is false and of no value. Continuing on in verses 9 and 10, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." The love of God shines most brilliantly in Christ. He shines as the brightest star in the firmament. Jesus Christ is our North Star. If you want to know how to love, look towards Jesus. Imitate him and his way of life. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Because Jesus lives, we live. Because Jesus lives, we live. Well, what does that look like? Well, it looks kind of like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it, including man. Temptation entered into the world and man succumbed to it and fell into sin. And now we have inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. And try as we might, we cannot cover our sins with the fig leaves of our own goodness. Yet the love of God prevailed in Christ. Jesus came to live the life that we could not live, to pay a debt that we could not pay. And he did this by dying on the cross. And it's that dying on the cross is how he ransomed us from sin. But he also ransomed us from death by rising from the dead on the third day. John 11, 25 and 26 says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Loving others in its fullest expression can only be found in Christ. Human love has limitations. But the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit enables us to love as God loves. Sacrificially giving ourselves away for the good of our brothers and sisters and to all who enter our sphere of influence. When we share the love of God with others, by telling and showing them the good news of Jesus Christ, it is as if we are standing at the tomb of Lazarus. When we speak the words of God empowered by the Holy Spirit, "Lazarus, come forth. We get to take part in a person passing from life to death when we share the gospel. That's what happens when the gospel is shared. People move from death to life, and we get to be a part of that. And that is the love of God made manifest amongst us in Christ, is that we can have everlasting life. Everlasting life. We get to watch the miracle of someone rising from the dead. Man, I can tell you, there's no other joy on earth like being present when the Holy Spirit makes one come alive to Christ. And I have seen that with many of you in this room and many of you in prisons all over Texas, where a man who comes before us, who was beaten and abused and strung out on drugs and alcohol and committed a horrible crime and deserved the punishment they got. But they're down to nothing, to their last. Don't know if they can even take another breath. And then you and I show up in the name of Jesus with a cookie and a glass of punch. I'm telling you. The kindnesses that you show to people in your life matter. It makes a difference. Because you never know what God is going to do with that kindness. He may open the heart of that individual to such a way that their ears pop out and their hearts open up and they're able to actually hear the message of Jesus. But that happens when you get outside of yourself. When you get outside of your comfort zone and love the way Jesus loved. Look, give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, or a cookie and a cup of punch. We get to watch the miracle of someone rising from the dead because before Christ, we are all dead men walking. But after we have received Christ, we can shake off the grave clothes that bound us in our death and become alive to God in Christ. Separated from God in our sin, God took the initiative and chose to love us by sending His Son to satisfy the righteous demands of the law. This is something that we could not do. Therefore, salvation belongs to our God, and He will not share His glory with another. We are able to enter the holy place with boldness, bringing our petitions and requests before God, only because God saved us and keeps us saved. God is the one who saves us, and God is the one who keeps us saved. Trust in God. He is on His throne. Trust in God. He watches over His own. Have faith in God. He will prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." If God has loved us like this, how can we not love one another? To put it bluntly, if you say you love God, but you hate your brother, you are a liar. Therefore, submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves in love from the heart. It's much better to humble yourself than to be humbled. It is much better to humble yourself than to be humbled. But make no mistake about it, humility will occur one way or another. You can do it the easy way, or you can do it the hard way. So don't harden your hearts towards your brother or your sister. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Then your hearts will not condemn you. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. A curious verse, to be sure. Why does John write about not seeing God? No one has ever seen God, while also speaking about the love of God. Well, herein lies a mystery, a great and profound truth. It may have escaped some of us. Because no one has seen God, he can only be seen through his children. You and I, as believers in Jesus, we may be the only picture of God someone will ever see. What kind of picture is your life painting? What kind of picture is your life painting? Are people drawn to God by your life and your love? Or are they repelled from God because of our hard and calloused hearts? Because of our selfish and clenched fists, holding on to what is ours so tightly that even a gnat could not escape from it? My friends, live life with open hands and open hearts. Love freely from the heart. Do not withhold good things from those in need. Do these things, and the love of God will be made manifest in your life so that you may shine brightly for Christ. So that you may shine brightly from Christ. As I was studying this text, so many thoughts flooded my mind of you guys. And where would I be without the love of God that has been shown through you towards me and my family? Where would I be? Well, I would still be a drunk and a drug addict and a heathen lost. But because people like you and people in this very church and in this very room have come along beside me and walked beside me all the days for the last 27 years, I am forever changed. And because I have met you and lived life with you and served God with you, I will never be the same again. Because I have been touched so deeply and so profoundly in so many ways by virtually everyone in this room at one time or another. And I don't know how to get past that. I'm really excited to go, but I'm also hurting to go because I love you. Yeah, love is a powerful thing, my friends. Don't shortchange it. Don't be afraid to give it away. It will come back to you multiplied. When you cast your bread upon the water, it will return 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Who knows? Cast your love upon the water of the hearts of people, and it will return to you in ways that you never imagined, and in ways that you cannot see, and even in ways that you cannot understand, because the love of God is eternal. It's powerful. Faith will pass away. Knowledge will pass away. Speech will pass away. But love endures, because God is love and God is eternal. Love. I couldn't think of a better end to my time here than to not only encourage myself, but to encourage you to keep it up. Keep it up. Love deeply from the heart, not just in word and tongue, but in deed and truth. Love deeply from the heart, my friends. And you will never be disappointed. You might get hurt along the way, but the scars that you bear in your body when you are loving people are the very scars that Jesus wants you to carry. because those are the things that are going to conform you into the image of Christ. It's not the triumphs. It's not the success. Those things are great. It's the scars, my friend, that are going to shape you into the person God wants you to be. And you're not going to get any scars if you're sitting in the stands. You got to get out on the field and play. You got to go play ball. And I know you want to. Some of you are just afraid to. However God is moving in your heart today, however God is pricking you, your conscience to go and be the light of the world, go and do that. However that is. We have so many different ways that God works in our hearts and our lives, and He's made us all different. We're not the same. And wherever it is that you work or live or go, be the light of Christ to those people. Carry it with you all the time. And not only will your life be changed, but the lives of others will be changed as well. I can assure you that's true. Some of you today watching online, some of you even sitting in this room, it's possible that you've never made a decision for Christ. You've never trusted Jesus. Well, look, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 3, do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of the rebellion. Today is the day of salvation. There is no other day. God has not given us a tomorrow. He's given us today. And so if you need to do business with God, if you need to be saved today, if you need to come to Christ, you come forward in just a minute. There will be ministers up front that can lead you to Christ. If you need to do business with God because you have aught against your brother, or you have some other thing that's been going on in your life, some sin, some situation, today is the day. Don't harden your heart and say, well, I'll take care of it later. No, later may not come, my friend. To this very day, your life may be required of you. You don't know. None of us know that. I don't say that to make you fear. I say that to tell you that God is in this place right now, and He is ready to receive you unto Himself. And you can become a child of God today by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, by believing in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. The Bible says, for everyone who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If the musicians would go ahead and come on up, I'm going to pray, and then we will enter into a time of invitation. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that you've given me, not only today, but God, for the last 27 years, to be here with your people and to become one of them and to learn to love them. And Lord, they've learned to love me. And God, I'm so thankful for that. I wouldn't trade that for anything. God, I pray for those who are dealing with strained relationships at home. Lord, with loved ones in their lives. Lord, I pray that you would move in their hearts today to take the first step towards reconciliation. God, I pray today that they would not wait for the other person to do it, but God, that they would step out on faith and do it themselves. And God, I pray for those who may need healing today, physical or mental, spiritual, God, whatever it may be. Lord, I pray that they would do business with you today because you are the great healer. Lord, there is none like you. There never will be another like you because you are the one and only. God, I pray during this time that you would be glorified. God, that our hearts would be refreshed. And Father, that you would be pleased with your people. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.